Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Samantha.
And we are so excited to have Abby from the Think Creative Collective group here with us today. Welcome, Abby.
Hi, it's so great to have me on the show today. I'm really excited to talk to you guys.
Yay. Well, we are so excited to have you. And to get things going, we always like to ask, what was that kickstart moment for you to get started in the business that you're currently in?
Well, the kickstart moment for me was actually a kind of terrible moment in my life. I was given a pink slip. I was laid off from my job and they were like, you know what? You have 30 days to find another job. We'll pay you until then, but I mean, you're done. You're out of here. And that was such a shitty feeling. But honestly, it was the best thing that ever happened because it finally gave me the strength to go after what I really wanted to do and start my own business. And so I utilized that 30 days to jumpstart everything I'd ever wanted to do and had like a big sit down moment with my husband. I was like, okay, you have to believe in me and you have to say that I can do this because if you don't, we're going to have some issues, babe. And so he agreed and I spent the next 30 days working my booty off trying to make sure I could still bring home the bacon because I was the breadwinner in our household and there was a lot riding on me being successful. And so, yeah, that was what happened. So
it sucks to really be let go from like any job that you're in, but the success that you and Emily have been able to create since then has literally like amassed in a way that you guys have even said it sometimes, you guys probably wouldn't have even been able to see this like a year beforehand.
Oh no, hands down, like it's been insane. I never imagined what we do now was even a possibility. I never thought that I would be talking to women from literally everywhere across the planet about business and like how to do it yourself and how to be successful in this online community where, I mean, most of the people think it's too saturated and I totally disagree. I think there's room for everybody. And what I do now isn't necessarily what I sought out to do when I first started, but oh my gosh, it's just such a blessing to call this my job because I mean, guys, I'm wearing pajamas and that's totally okay. Like, I didn't put on makeup today. I'm not in my usual red lipstick, but that doesn't mean I'm not doing my job and not being successful.
I love it. The fact that you said like this market seems oversaturated, but it's really not, really is true. I mean, you can just about launch anything in the creative industry and there's going to be someone out there who buys it. It's just targeting them and marketing to them in a way that's going to connect with them on a deeper level than just buy my product.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a time where it can feel like there's a million people talking and how could you possibly be heard? But if you talk loud enough and to the right people, like people listen. And that's such a cool feeling. I mean, you guys are two examples. Like I don't really know you, but you guys reached out and like, that's awesome. So we've been able to create this like personal connection and that wouldn't have been possible without the internet. The internet's crazy. Like Emily and I met because of the internet. We met in a Facebook group. So anything can happen online, really.
I will have to say, when you guys came back with your yes, I literally had a fangirl moment with Sam and I was like, oh my God, Think Creative Collective is going to be on our podcast. This is like the best day ever.
Yeah.
So where does your inspiration come from when it comes to like where the business is today?
Oh, well, I mean, honestly, it's based on what you guys want more than anything else. When we see what our audience is struggling with, we really try to come up with products that align with your needs. But really the inspiration, I mean, it comes from us struggling through it ourselves at first. Like we built 7 businesses before we built Think Creative Collective. And by far, like by and large, this has been the most successful one, but we used everything we learned along the way to really come up with products that we feel like will truly help creative entrepreneurs grow and see results, because at the end of the day, like, we want them to not only feel good about their business, but be making real money so that they can do what they love instead of just talk about it.
I love that. You talked about having 7 jobs before Think Creative Collective. What path have you taken through those, and how did you push through each struggle that you encountered? Because obviously having 7 different ones, there were different struggles and different things that you had to encounter.
Yeah, so my journey is a little bit different than Emily's, and definitely more of like a traditional corporate trajectory. But I spent time in the ad agency world. I worked for Kent State University in their marketing department. I worked for a financial company who did $1.7 billion in business and decided that I was in charge of their rebrand. I worked for a engineering startup. That was the company I was laid off from. I built several of my own businesses, including at one point I made leather hair accessories. That did not work out, guys, at all. I am not a product-based expert in the slightest, but that was my little side hustle in college that didn't really go anywhere. And then I was a graphic designer, and I did branding and website design, and that's sort of how this business originally started and morphed along the way. But Emily has built several of her own businesses. She ran a cupcake shop for a while. She did family portraits. She did all of one wedding and hated that, and worked with a ton of businesses and brands on their product and stock photography. And so I feel like we've just run the gamut of like huge, big business, like working for billion-dollar companies, to like small businesses that failed and everything in between. It's definitely been a lot, like learning along the way. But I think each one of those taught us something about what we wanted and what we didn't want at all, and how we could go after like the big dream in the sky, you know?
I love that. So what advice would you give for somebody who's in one of their like startup situations, looking to build a business more like what you have now? Because it sounds like you guys not only have had a range of, you know, big business, billion-dollar experience to small business fails, but also a huge array of experience in between, like branding and design and stock photography. And I mean, almost everything that a small business needs to build their small business. Mm-hmm. So what type of advice would you give somebody who's just starting out?
Well, I think when you start out, it's hard to know where to begin. But if you can focus on building an audience, I know all these people talk about list growth and whatever. And I know starting out, I was like, why do I need an email list? Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Who would even listen to me? I'm trying to sell services to Kansas City small businesses. Why would I need to have people on my email list from anywhere else? And when I started Think Creative in March of 2015, before Think Creative Collective, I was like, okay, well, everyone says you need an email list, so I guess I'll do like a newsletter thing and put myself out there. And single-handedly, that was the best thing I could have done for our business today, because it didn't grow very much, very fast at all. But like when we started focusing on list growth, crazy things started happening in our business. And I know it seems like a hard thing to focus on when you're so focused on like just doing your job, whatever that is. So like if you're a calligrapher, you're trying to do calligraphy and like get clients to do that for, and it seems hard to focus on anything else. But if you can focus on working on your business, not just in it, but on it at least 30 minutes a day, I think that can be like the giant, huge thing that can move you forward. Because if you don't have the time to focus on your personal growth and your business growth, you're just going to get stuck doing the same thing over and over again.
I love that, because I think that a lot, especially in the design industry, that it's really easy to get stuck in your client work.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Working on your business. And that's something that even in the beginning of my business, I experienced. So I love that. That's a great piece of advice.
Yeah, we used to joke that we ran 2 businesses simultaneously. We had like the business that made money, and it was client work, photography work, design work. And we did that, you know, 6-8 hours a day. And then we worked an additional, or at least I did for a long time, additional 2 to 5 hours a day building this thing that didn't necessarily even feel connected at the time, because it wasn't how we were getting business. It wasn't how we were making money. But I knew at the end of the day that building an online presence was what was going to like radically change the business at some point. And so I knew if I invested on the front end that it would pay off, and it did. So, I mean, not everybody has that amount of time, but if they can start small and really, like, even if it's creating content for a blog or social media, like building that presence is so important.
And it's so true in the sense, like, everyone's amazed at the success that you guys have had, especially when you went from client work to kind of chopping that side of the business off and then going full on with just the educational side. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense because you guys have been open and honest about everything you've done from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that you guys have been vulnerable and shared your struggles and really been almost like that best friend that people can come to online and see exactly what you guys have done and the advice of, here, if we've done this and it didn't work, try it, but it might not work for you. So one of the questions we did ask Emily, and I told her we were going to ask you too, and we're going to, on the next episode after this, we're going to actually combine those and get your reactions for it. But what are some of the values that you bring into the business?
The values, well, I mean, probably more than anything else, I value community. And gosh, like the people that have like reached out to us and have become like literally our friends from all over the place. Like, you guys just amaze me what you do with your businesses, how willing you are to be open and honest with us. I mean, we get these personal emails that I swear, like, we're not licensed therapists, but you guys seriously give us all the details about your entire life and business. And like, I mean, someone even told us like they were going to leave their husband, and like someone told us about losing their children, like the death of their child. And like, I mean, these super personal things that affect your lives and like things that are way beyond just business. And I feel so honored to be privileged with that information, and like that you trust us in a way that's so personal, that like we have personal relationships with people like on every part of this planet, which is just insane to me. Like, I used to have, I could count my friends on one hand. Like, Emily and I both are very personal people. Like, we're the kind of people who have one really good friend, maybe two really good friends, but we're not like the crowd people. Like, we don't have a 200 friends. But now I can say I have like literally like 15,000 friends on the internet, which is bizarre and really strange to me because that's not how I operated before. But I don't know, like, it's making me emotional to joke that, but like the amount that you guys are willing to share with us, it just, okay. So community is my number one value. I don't know. I just really, appreciation. I mean, it's all about the people. Like, it's not about us. Like, yes, we share what does and doesn't work, but if it's not moving you guys forward in some way, like, it's not worth our time. We've said no to some things that I never imagined saying no to. Like, someone asked us to like be a partner in their business. Like, they were willing to give us part of their business because they saw the value that we brought. And we said no. And like, they'd been on like Oprah and like magazines. And it was just, it hurt my heart to say no to that opportunity, but it wasn't going to bring you guys as a community forward. And so we said no. Like, yeah, community. That's the value.
Yeah. It, you know what? It also sounds like you guys are very in tune with your integrity as well, especially because you did, the fact that you said no to someone to be a partner. I mean, that takes guts. Like, that's a leap of faith. And you guys are so trusting in yourselves because you know the value that you guys bring to that community that you've created. And I love that you guys seriously put everyone else first, especially when you said, you know, if it doesn't bring our community value, we're not going to do it. That's seriously something that is a whole mindset change for people.
Yeah, like it's definitely a weird thing to think about, but Emily and I would say kind of feel like mama bears. Like, you guys are like our little children walking around, and we're protective of you, and like we care and want to nurture you, and we want to like save your butt when things aren't working out, and like literally all the feelings that a mom has. But like, I mean, neither of us have children. We each have two rescue puppies, and they're huge in our lives, but like, we treat you guys like our kids, but like our best best friends at the same time. And so if it doesn't go for the good of everybody, it's just not worth it. But I don't know. It's a hard place to be in sometimes because it's a totally different way of thinking. Because before with clients, it's not at all how we thought. Like it was definitely like, who can we find that's a good fit for what we want to do? Like, especially because it was design and photography preferences. If they weren't a good fit, we weren't going to enjoy the project. But now it's like, if it's not a good fit, then it's not going to make money. Because if it's not going to help you guys, why would anybody buy it? You know what I mean?
You guys do such a great job too of actually like asking your community what they want and then creating it for them. Just kind of like gauging their reaction to things that you guys want to launch. And I love that. I also want to say when you said you guys were like Mama Bear, a reference that came to mind is like, you're the cool mom from Mean Girls.
Yes. Success. If we end up being cool moms, like hands down, when like that's my goal my entire life. My mom, shout out to my mom, my real mom. She has tried to be a cool mom my entire life. And sometimes that meant humiliating herself, but she's done so much for us that like, yeah. So if I could be half as cool as my actual mom and like be that cool mom for you guys, success.
It's so funny, like interviewing you and Emily separately first, because she said the exact same thing about her mom too, about her being probably one of the biggest influencers in her life. So it just goes to show that you guys were like a business match made in heaven.
Yeah. It's definitely weird. The more you get to know us, the more similar we are. Like, I mean, I used to say we both had brown hair, but Emily just dyed her hair blonde. So she's blonde haired and I'm brown headed and like, we're the same person. We're the same height. I don't know. It's weird. I totally agree. Yes.
And you guys now live in the same city too.
Yes. Which is great. It's so nice to finally have her nearby. I was wondering how that was going to like all work out. Cause we did it for like a year almost where we worked in separate cities. And now like I could just drive over whenever I want and she'll be there. And that's just, it's cool, but it's also weird, like trying to figure out our dynamic. We still primarily work from two separate places, but I do definitely see her like a million times more than I did before.
So the fact that you guys are this match made in heaven, what I also want to ask you and the advice you want to give to our audience, because truly this entire podcast is about showing others, entrepreneurs who may be just starting out or maybe trying to come back to who they are and figuring out how they can also lead bold and beautifully in their business. What advice would you give to them about finding kind of their biz bestie, their accountability partner?
Well, finding that person is not necessarily something I would ever try to do intentionally. I think the more you try to be friends with people or like find your person, it like fails miserably. I mean, that's definitely how it's been my entire life. Like my best friend from college was assigned to me in the sorority. Like she's my mom and now she's my best friend. But I swear to you, if that like little leap of fate hadn't happened, like we wouldn't be friends. And so I think if you go into the universe thinking, I'm going to go find my best bestie today, like that is not going to work out for you. I think you just have to be yourself, like so genuinely so that other people are attracted to you. That's how Emily and I kind of fell into being, I guess. Like she was just genuinely herself. And then I said something and I was like, girlfriend, I feel like you took the words out of my mouth. Like, and I was just really open and honest with her about that. And that's how the relationship started. So I guess if I had any advice, I would just be on the lookout for other people who are like-minded and who might say something and you feel like, oh, like that really resonated with me, or that's exactly how I would say it. And then start a relationship with them. And it can be small, like just ask them for a Skype date or a phone call. Or I literally meet people all the time now. It's so different, like not being in the corporate world. You used to be like, oh, let's go to lunch or whatever. And now you have to like be more, I don't know, online friendships can be kind of weird. But I'll just randomly tell someone like, oh, you should introduce me to so-and-so, or can we grab coffee, like if they're in town, or can we meet on the internet for an hour? And like those sort of like awkward conversations have led to some really powerful friendships, not just Emily and I, but several other people that I think if I had gone to it thinking, oh, like this person's my person and I got to do this, like it would not have worked out.
You know, as you were saying that, I kept picturing like in high school and early college, you know, the friends that don't have boyfriends and they're constantly looking for the right boyfriend and you're like, oh my God, just stop looking, love will find you. Yeah. Like that's what I kept hearing, you know, when you were
saying. No, like, that's how I met my husband. I stopped looking. I was like, screw boys. And then he lived in the same hallway as me in college. And he was two doors down. So I stopped looking and he was like literally right around the corner. So
exactly. It's like, you're trying too hard, girl. Just stop.
Stop looking. You don't need to join like a biz dating friend. I don't even know if this exists. But like, there's no... You don't need to join an online dating service to find your biz bestie, okay? Like, just be yourself and, like, be vulnerable and talk in Facebook groups and tell your heart inside Instagram and, like, just be yourself because someone will stick out eventually, whether you want them to or not. And then you'll be like, oh, how have I known you for a year? Like, that's crazy. And we talk all the time. And I can't imagine doing this whole business thing without you being, like, a phone call or a text away.
Would you also say it's true to like also trust your instinct and like your intuition when going into, you know, whether it's like a business partnership like you and Emily have, or just kind of finding that accountability partner, knowing that if it's not right, to be okay with it?
Well, I think for like business partnerships, I feel like accountability and business partnerships are like two very different things. Like I have found a lot of people that I resonate with and will text and like talk to about business and be really open and honest with. But Emily is literally the only other person on the planet I trust enough to be my business partner. And that comes from my gut, that comes from my heart, that comes from lots of really deep conversations about what we wanted out of life and business. And because our income is like so incredibly tied to each other, it's like, it's scary. Like, it's literally like marrying someone. And we definitely got married really fast. So I think for most people, I don't necessarily suggest it. Like, rock your business, have like collaborations. If you're going to go into something and you think they might be right for a bigger, stronger position in your life, like just try co-selling with them something or collaborating with them on a project and just see where it goes. Because if we hadn't done that first, I don't think business partnership would have ever been on the table. We just decided we liked each other enough that we didn't want to compete. So
you're basically in a business marriage. And thank you for defining that too. Because I truly, like, accountability partner and business partnership are two completely different things.
Oh, yes.
I apologize for asking those in like the same question.
Oh, that's okay. I think the accountability partner like can be anyone, and it can be a really casual conversation where you talk once a week or once a month or whatever, and you can be kind of sort of friends, but they don't have to know everything. But a business partner, like, be ready to like share your life and your business, and like, you're going to have to take out life insurance policies on each other and like retirement. And like, it is like a thing, girlfriend. Like, it's a lot. And I know we haven't done everything right, but we've worked it out because we're committed, you know, like just like in a marriage. So, and we haven't had any big fights. So cross the fingers that doesn't happen.
It's just, to me, like, it's amazing how well you guys sync together, but not in the sense like, it's like a bad thing. Like the fact that you were able to almost find like your business lobster is what I would probably call it, or business penguin, because not many people get that lucky.
Yeah.
So besides the fact that you guys found a really great friend and business partner in the venture that is Think Creative Collective, what would be like the biggest influencer for you that has helped you kind of map this road that you've been on?
Like how to be business partners?
Oh, no. Who was your biggest influence in like helping you shape who you are in like the business today?
Oh God. I mean, my biggest influence period is my mom, but like business influencer. I don't know. Like I've looked up to a lot of really cool people out in the industry. And I mean, Pat Flynn is definitely one of them, but I mean, let's just talk about my mom for a second, because this lady is crazy. Like she does not give herself enough credit. When she was my age, she had already run a big business and had her first patent and like was creating new products and ended up selling that business to raise me. And like, I think she thinks a lot of the times that she failed because she decided to be a mom first instead of a business owner. And I just think she's crazy because she did so many cool things. Like, I mean, crazy cool things that I always grew up thinking, if I can just like have a resume half as cool as my mom's, like I will have succeeded. And in my, like, right out of college, I was like, not, that's never gonna happen. And then I've been so shocked to see, like, you know what? Like, I might just be as cool as my mom. Like, that's so awesome. And I never really wanted to be anything huge. It wasn't like I wanted to be president or wanted to, like, go rule Congress. Like, that was not what I wanted. I just wanted to be cool like my mom. But she just had all these different jobs, and, like, they were very all over the place, not even necessarily related. Like, she worked for a hand surgeon. She worked for AT&T and, like, tested software. She ran a company that would decide how many parts you needed for, like, these big businesses. Imagine, like, a farm of cubicles, and figuring out, like, all the parts and pieces you would need for that. Like, she figured out how to map that out in CAD, like, long before anybody was even doing that. And then someone ended up gobbling her company up because they were scared of what it could do to the, like, industry. I don't know. Weird stuff. I could go on for days about her. But I just always thought that she had a good level head on her shoulders, and she went after what she wanted, even if that meant giving stuff up along the way. And so, like, I'm fully prepared to, if and when I have children, like, if things are going to change in our business, like, it'll be a conversation. It won't be I failed at my life because kids are more important. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's also amazing just how much you're talking about your mom, and, like, talking about your journey with the different businesses you've owned and the jobs. She really instilled a part of herself into you, whether you can see it or not. And you're literally, like, going down your own path, but it's thanks to the fact that your mom was able to take that time to raise you in a way. She instilled, you know, braveness and boldness and confidence in you.
Yeah, she definitely told me I could do whatever I wanted when I grew up, and for the longest time, I didn't believe her. But enough of that, like, woo-woo-ness. Like, if you get told the same thing enough times in your life, you eventually start believing it. And I did. And it was weird and crazy. And I still have pinch me moments, because as big as this whole thing is, like, it's humongous. Like, it's way bigger than either of us ever imagined. And it keeps getting bigger. And I'm like, what is, like, I have anxiety about it, because it feels like this giant responsibility. I'm like, I never imagined building a business that was this large, or, like, we're going to have to hire people. Like, what? Like, I don't even understand how I ever ended up in this mess. Not that it's a bad mess, but it's just like, you create this thing and it just keeps growing. Like, how do you handle that? And it's a weird place to be.
Well, I can say that both of you, the reason that you guys are successful and have, like, these panic attacks is because you are humble, and you don't let this kind of get to you in a sense where you think you're bigger than everyone else. And I think it comes back to that you truly value community over everything else when it comes to this business, because not many people actually would even think that, especially as they've grown to the success that you guys have grown to.
Yeah, I get really frustrated when people start playing the comparison game, because, I mean, we do it too. Like, we definitely look at other people's Instagrams or their websites or what we think they're doing in their launches, and, like, start comparing, and that's crappy. And it's so, I could hang out with someone who makes $100 a month and someone who makes $100,000 a month and have the exact same conversation with them, because just because of how much money you're making or how big your audience is or whatever, like, it says nothing about who you are as a person. And, like, I've been all over the place. I definitely haven't made $100,000 a month, but maybe someday. Like, you know, like, it's just a weird place to be. And there's no reason why you should treat someone differently because of how you perceive their success. If they're all working their hardest. And a lot of these people, they're running these service-based businesses where you don't necessarily even see their hustle because they're so focused on everybody else. So they might have this little teeny tribe online, but that doesn't mean they're not doing crazy awesome things for other people.
I love that. I, through what you're saying, I keep hearing that you keep saying it's community and that's one of your values and whatnot. But what I keep hearing is that really you guys value the people over the profits. It's not focused on how much money are you going to make? Is this something that's going to make money? It's focused more on, is there value in this and will it help the community? Which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I'm still a numbers lady and I still want to make money and I still want to be profitable. And I believe in, like, seeing success on, like, without having to invest thousands of dollars in advertising and all these things. I still think you can run a profitable business. So I do think profit's important, but I think you're right to an extent where if you put the people first, the profit will come. And so, and it has, like, if we focus on what you need and what is going to help you the most, the investment is still there. And if it doesn't help you, like, why would you tell your friends? But if you, like, genuinely are like, oh my God, I just went to this thing and Think Creative Collective did this thing, and oh my God, it's so amazing and you need it. People say that all the time, and we wouldn't make money if you guys didn't share your experience with other people. So
exactly. And that's how I feel about a lot of things, is that really when you focus on the people first, the profits naturally follow. But when you focus on the profits, it's not that it's a bad way of doing things. To me, it just seems harder to focus on the profits first.
Yeah. So actually, speaking of, one of our TCC ambassadors inside our Facebook group, she had this like amazing post the other day, and it literally like made me change my entire focus. And she was like, if you focus on things that you can't control, like how are you ever going to reach them? So if your goal is financial, like say you want to make $20,000 this month, if your goal is financial, you're not going to reach it. But if your goal is, I'm going to get 2 new clients in the door by making this many calls or having this many meetings or whatever, and focus on things you actually are in control of, like that money will come. And so, yes, we have financial goals that we put in place every month, but at the end of the day, the goal is to launch the thing or to have the webinar or to write these emails or whatever. We're focused on actually doing it instead of, like, if you just wish for money, it's not going to come out of thin air. You have to work for it.
Yeah, you have to take the action in order to get what you truly want out of life. If you're just kind of sitting there doing nothing and always planning but never actually doing, it's never going to manifest in what you actually want.
Yeah, implement.
All right. So to wrap things up on this awesome episode, we always like to close with a fun question. Abby, if you had a dinner party, who would be the 5 people you would invite, living or dead?
Oh my God, I'm pretty excited about my dinner party. It is going to be like the coolest dinner party in town. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
So Jesus Christ, Oprah, Pat Flynn, Emily, and my husband Jared are all coming to this dinner party. And the only reason Emily and Jared are coming is because they won't believe me that I had a dinner party with Jesus Christ, Oprah, and Pat Flynn. So.
Oh my God, that sounds like such a good dinner party.
Doesn't it? It would be about business and like, how can you be profitable and still have faith and not be gluttonous? And oh my God, I can go on about how amazing it would be.
If you actually like get that together, can you like video conference me? We can just have a conversation.
Well, we'll have to raise Jesus Christ from the dead again.
I mean, crazier things have happened, right?
If I can get the other 2 in the room plus my husband and my business partner, I mean, I'll definitely video conference you in for sure.
Yay! Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. We had so much fun, and we cannot wait for the next episode where we're getting both you and Emily into a room together and talking with you guys about Think Creative Collective, how that came to be with both of you, and also some other fun and interesting questions. If you guys want to learn more about this show, you guys can go to beautifullyboldpodcast.com, where there'll be show notes, resources, and other fun tips. And to continue the conversation, please head on over to the Beautifully Bold in Business Facebook group, where we'll be chatting all week long. So thank you so much. We had so much fun today with you.
I'm so excited. It was such a fun podcast.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the 2 beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.